This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, August 2, 2020. The Eighth Sunday After Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Great is the Lord, and great to be praised in the city of our God. May the words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Those words are from Psalm number 48, which opened the Mass today, and that were again repeated before the gospel reading. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. The Psalms speak from end to end about the necessity of praising God. The Psalms cover every circumstance of life, good, bad, to horrible. But throughout those circumstances of life, no matter what they may be, we should praise God. It does not have a period after great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. It goes on. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. God not only obligates us to worship Him, He obligates us to a place where we are to do it. It is in His city. This was written by the psalmist when all they had going for them was the temple in Jerusalem. They made pilgrimages frequently to Jerusalem, because that was where God mandated he be worshiped. In the New Testament, our Lord Jesus Christ opens the vistas. We are not bound by a geographical locale anymore. We worship him where he is. This is discourse with the women, Samaritan woman at the well. He looks at her and she asks him, "You say we should worship in Jerusalem, but we say we should worship in Mount Gerizim." "So, woman, you don't know what you're talking about. You should worship God in spirit and in truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life," is what he goes on to say in the Gospel of John. He is where we worship. He is the kingdom. And as he goes through these towns and villages in the Gospel, performing mighty works, he looks at these people and says, "Tell them that the kingdom of God is at hand." What is he saying? "I am the kingdom of God. I, who am God, have brought his kingdom of heaven into this world." So, consequently, when Jesus Christ establishes his Catholic Church on the back of Peter, he looks at him and he doesn't say, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build the church," or "a church." He says, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Church is ecclesia. Church is where people gather together. People are to gather in this church that I establish on you, Peter, the Roman Catholic Church. This is the city of our God, in which he obligates us to worship. We are commanded to come here. And people who don't worship him in the Catholic Church are as the Samaritans were in his day. We worship on Mount Gerizim because we think that's okay. It's not okay. It's not okay. Just like in those days, you had to go to Jerusalem. In our days, you go to the Catholic Church. We are under obligation to do so. Not just Catholics. Everybody is under obligation, or they are falling short of what he demands of us. This psalm speaks of this. This psalm, when, again, this psalmist is, I mentioned it last week, I mean, the psalmists, they had shadows, they had types, they had prophecies, but we have it in fulfillment. When this psalmist writes of worshiping God in his city, it starts, I like it, there's bookends, the first verse and the last verse. They talk about the greatness of God. You worship God because he's great. Nobody ever has a problem with that. Everybody appreciates the fact that we need to worship God. However, we have to understand that in our worship of God, because he's great, has to be done the way he wants. We cannot approach God on our own terms. We do not determine where or how he is to be worshiped. We do it the way the Holy Spirit has instructed the church throughout her history. This is to be Catholic. This is to worship God where and how he wants us to do so. Because when we're in the church, we so much more than the Jews of the Old Testament, who we are, you know, little footnote on this, we are the true Israel of God. St. Paul in Romans speaks of the fact that to be a Jew is not to be one who's circumcised in the flesh. It's not your ethnicity. It's the circumcision of heart. It is a confession of God and faith in him. So it doesn't have anything to do with ethnicity. It has to do with Jesus Christ. And when we worship Jesus Christ the way he wants and where he wants, we have the fulfillment of what the psalmist embraces. The psalmist says that we do this because to be found in the temple is to be found the enduring strength of God. Even in the time when this psalmist wrote this, we have to think about it because he is speaking of the city of Jerusalem. He is talking about a geographical location. A lot of people in here probably, I know for a fact that there are some people in this building right now. Have you been to Jerusalem? Yes, I've been to Jerusalem. Guess what? That's where Jesus was. Guess what? The city's not even the same place it used to be. That's how thoroughly destroyed it was by the Romans in 70 AD. When they rebuilt it, it's not even in the same place. Before our Lord came, the temple had been destroyed a few times and rebuilt. But the psalmist appeals to the strength that God exhibits. And how does he exhibit? Well, if it keeps getting torn down, how is he exhibiting his strength? Strength can only be exhibited when you prove it. Back in the day, when I used to be a cop, I used to hear all kinds of things. They're not going to take me. Okay. Guess what? They all got taken one way or another. All right? You got to prove to me that what you're saying is true. How do you prove yourself? You demonstrate it. You demonstrate your strength. Jesus Christ in the church, and even in the days of the psalmist, Jerusalem, the temple keeps getting torn down, but we keep rebuilding it. It keeps getting rebuilt. It's never just destroyed. God even, you know, we learned about this last week, God even used pagan kings at his behest to help restore the rebuilding of the temple. That's how God demonstrates his strength. Oh, okay, you army of the whatever, you tear down the temple, look at this, it's going to be rebuilt. Tear it down again, it's going to be rebuilt. The city of Jerusalem, razed by the Romans to the point where it's not even in the same place anymore, it's still there. You can get on a plane and go to Jerusalem today. So even in the shadowy times, God is exhibiting his strength. How much more in the church of our day? The fulfillment of these words of the strength of God is manifest in his city, the Catholic Church. Look at the Catholic Church of our day. It's trashed in a lot of places. How many horrible scandal this, scandal that, confusion here, people flocking out the doors. What does that mean to us? That means that those people have to deal with that one-on-one with Jesus Christ. But the Catholic Church, as our Lord says, the gates of hell will not prevail against her. She continues, God shows his strength by what he does, where he is faithfully worshipped. Particularly when bad things are going on. That's how he demonstrates his strength. Next Sunday, Lord willing, we're all still here, I'm going to do two confirmations of adults during the 10:15 Mass. And I cannot help but to, and I mean this literally, kind of snicker when people, I'm not laughing at them, I am laughing happily because God encourages me. Because I hear so often about this going on here and that going on here and this sacrilege and this heresy and this turning away from the faith. And people come into my office in this place and say, I want to be a Catholic. Who in their right mind would want to be a Catholic in our day and age? That have anything to do with right mind. It has to do with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit draws people to worship God aright. And when they find a place where it's done, then they will come. This is how things work. is the Holy Spirit. God shows his strength through that. Why do people still want to become Catholics in our day when the Catholic Church has been nothing less than eviscerated in her worship, in her teaching? Why do people come? Because it's the Holy Spirit. God demonstrates his strength here. During these times in which we live, everybody's scared. Oh, you could get... How dare they gather together? Because we dare, because it's a secondary issue for us. It's a secondary issue that you could get sick, okay? Because God has demonstrated his strength. I weird out occasionally. Since this has all happened, this parish has grown by over 35% in just 3 months. I didn't see that kind of growth for the first 7 years. It took a pandemic, a bunch of people. Praise God. He shows his strength. He demonstrates his strength when people come together to worship him aright. And sometimes he just gives us a little nudge. Sometimes he gives us a huge kick in the tail to get us moving somewhere. And if it takes a pandemic, that's fine. He'll do it because he demonstrates his strength there. Because the fulfillment of what the psalmist says about worshiping God happens in his church. The psalmist actually says in one of the verses, he says, as we have heard, so have we seen. We hear about God's promises in his word. We hear them preached. We hear them in the psalmist's words and in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, we have the reality of things. God continues to show his strength in the church. He continues through the power of his Holy Spirit to foment within us the fortitude, the spiritual virtue of fortitude that makes us strong to even look at danger in its secondary. The second reading today, St. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he speaks at length. What could separate us from the love of Christ? What could separate us? This, that, the other, all these horrible things, he said. All these horrible things cannot separate the true believer from the love of Christ. But a virus has separated many from exhibiting their love of Christ. What's going on? What I said before. Badness. But why is that? There are people who look at you and not only look at you and say, you're an idiot for going in there. We're not 6 feet apart and there's more than 10 people there. Okay? The world doesn't get, and they're serious. It's that they're idiots for going in there, but a lot of them even point fingers at you. They don't care about anybody else. Doesn't have anything to do with our caring about anybody else one way or another. We do care about other people, but we care about the worship of God first and foremost. It's a matter of priorities, is what we're talking about. They don't get it. The world doesn't get it. They're not supposed to get it. The Holy Spirit tells us that they don't get it. Not only they don't get it, they can't. The psalmist says, behold the kings of the earth, so they saw, and they wondered, and they were troubled. They were moved, trembling took hold of them. You know, an early Christian commentator says, as God has recognized, the kings of the earth are disturbed. We see that manifest in our very day. People in the world don't get us. And like I said, they're belligerent towards us. It is not a matter of us not caring about them. We just care about God more and what he has mandated. And how you can listen to that second reading. Nothing can separate us. All of a sudden, a glorified chest cold has separated millions of people from the worship of God. And they hate it when you manifest that you love God more than you love other people or more than you may love the life in this world. This is just an Old Testament stuff. St. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, the natural man perceiveth not these things that are of the Spirit of God, for it is foolishness to him. And he cannot understand because it is spiritually examined, discerned. They don't get it. They can't get it. I was reading in the news this week, and the news just loves to bash Catholics because they don't care about anybody. In San Francisco, there's a church, and praise God for Father. I believe the name of the parish was Saints Peter and Paul in San Francisco. And I hope some way Father finds out that I gave him lauds for being a stalwart for Christ. The Father is continuing to administer the sacraments. And in California, that's a really difficult thing to do now. You have to be surreptitious about it, okay? But I always tell people, watch what you put on social media. You know, even if it sounds good, it can blow up in your face. The city, county of San Francisco is monitoring social media. They are monitoring social media. And they got wind of a wedding going to take place. And this is how good it is. I love Father. Okay, when you get there, park over here, go through these back doors and do this and everything like that so we don't draw any attention to that. Well, people are, do this, do that. The city's watching. So what do? They send officers and they cease and desist. So the wedding happens in a parking lot because Father doesn't want anybody to go to jail and everything like that. But at the end of the day, the guy that's in charge of the health there, I'm infuriated that they did that. Of course you are. Of course you are, because you are the fulfillment. You're the personification of what the scripture says. You are troubled. You're moved because God is being recognized and it takes precedent over what you have said. They don't get us. I mean, if they called Father it, because they did send a harsh letter to the diocese. Got to love the bishop out there also. He was, your directions are convoluted and contradictory. Who can understand them? So the bishop even sort of blew them off out there. They don't get it. They don't understand because they can't. If they called Father, explain yourself to me. If I was Father, I wouldn't even open my mouth. I decided to say, but you explain anything to you because you won't get it. They can't get it because they're not spiritual. They don't know the love of Jesus Christ. I go to this place and I go to that. You don't understand the Catholic faith. You don't understand that being with Jesus is where you get the graces. But the gospel today, Jesus feasts over 5,000 with a couple of loaves and fishes. How much would you have received if you weren't there with Jesus? You've got to be in his presence to receive the graces. You cannot receive them through a TV screen. You cannot receive the graces of the Eucharist by reading scripture. It cannot be done. You have to be in his presence. And we can play their game and adjust as much as we want. We could add 10 masses on Sunday to make sure everybody comes in. But this is where you're going to get the graces. You cannot receive them elsewhere. And for the church to deprive certain people, except for the few that can make it in there, is horrendous. It is a lack of priority. When we understand this, when we understand that they can get it, you should feel good about yourself. Because you know what? It's uncomfortable. It really is. Because we got to go home and we got to go to work and hear how much you don't care about other people. You do, but it's just a matter of priorities. People that are in here right now really got basically two mindsets of people who will come in here where people aren't 6 feet apart. There's more than 10 and all this other good stuff. When you look at it, there's really two mindsets of people who gather together. One are people that look at the situation and go, I don't care. I'm going to worship God. That's kind of the easy one. I actually appreciate the other one where a person might have a little or even a lot of angst. Oh, man, I keep hearing this and keep hearing, I'm so leery about going in there. I appreciate that a little bit more because that person who has angst of coming in amongst a bunch of other people, that person is coming here even in this with the specter of something possibly bad happening. But I mean, people like that are basically demonstrating what the martyrs did. How on earth can you, let's run away from this because you could possibly get sick. What about those who put a pinch of incense to this idol? Or we're going to set you on fire. Not maybe. Not if we're having a bad day. This is what we're going to do to you if you don't do that. And guess what? They didn't do it. And guess what? They set them on fire. How pathetic is it for people who say they're a member of the same faith of those people and who shun worship of God because you might possibly this or possibly that? I am so sick and tired for the past 4 months of reading, this may happen, this probably will happen, this can happen. Give me some definitives. I'll give you some. That God obliges us to worship Him in His holy temple, here in His presence. And when we do this, we fulfill what the psalmist ties up this psalm saying, say your heart's on her strength, the church. Distribute that which you receive to another generation. This is an example to people. This is an example to Catholics who are sitting home today, that there are Catholics who are faithful, who are fulfilling God's obligation in the specter of possibly this, that, or the other thing. It is proof of strength. And that kind of strength is passed down to subsequent generations. People have come to this parish that I said before, since this is going on, and they found a home here. As I said, the Holy Spirit will nudge us into doing that, and sometimes pushes real hard to do it. But He does it because it's an example to your children. Why don't we go here anymore? Why don't we do it? Because whatever. It's a proof to them that you go out of your way, that you sacrifice to do what God wants of us. It doesn't matter what the flavor of the month is, pandemics, wars, earthquakes, hurricane/tropical storms, whatever, there's always something. There's always something. The only thing that's not always something is Jesus Christ. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. He is the King and King of Lord of Lords, and He will ever remain on His throne. And, you know, as I've said several times through this whole thing, if you get through this, there is something else that's waiting down the road, sooner or later. And we prepare ourselves for that. That's what we do in here. We prepare ourselves to be with Him for all eternity. But that is in question if you don't do what He obliges us to do in this world. So as the psalmist says, for this is God, our God unto eternity forever and ever. He shall rule us forever. That one is going to rule us forever. We should take pains to worship Him aright, even when we may face a little discomfort, or the angst of the pagan, or even the potential of our own deaths, to do what He wants us to do. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.